Well, friends, we live in a world of broken promises. It's a beautiful thing to see someone keep a promise, even though it costs them and hurts them dearly. When I wake in the morning, I'm sleeping on my right shoulder, my eyes fall directly on the spine of a book entitled God of Promise. It's a book about God and his promise. What promise? Well, it's the first promise made in the Bible. The Bible, like every book, has a story to tell. And it's a true story. And it's about a promise that God has made to all the world. The story has a plot, a chain of events, and a sequel. The plot is that God created a beautiful world full of wonders and put mankind in charge of it. But it all went wrong, in which both mankind and creation were damaged, seemingly irreparable damage. And then God made a promise that he would restore everything, both man and creation. A new world was promised where everything and everyone would be perfect forever. The first part of the Bible is about mankind's fall, and it only takes up three chapters, a few leaves. And the last part about the restoration and the new world is just a few chapters also. So most of the story is about how God puts the world right again. Like the children's rhyme, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And the bulk of the Bible therefore shows how mankind just cannot repair the damage that has been done. And it is God himself who goes on mission to redeem man and creation. God engages mankind to assist him in the rebuilding of everything, so we must never forget, amongst all the personal successes and the tragedies and the events and the incidents which the Bible records, that it all leads to God fulfilling his promise. No matter how much affairs in the world may appear to be in a complete mess, God is fulfilling his promise that evil will be defeated and good will triumph, and a number no man can number for multitude will be saved and blessed forevermore. At one time, for our encouragement, we need to remember that the world became so evil, yes, far, far worse than things are today in 2021 AD, and wickedness was so rampant, there was only 8 people who were spared the devastating judgment of God. And of course, that 8 were Noah and his family. It was as if God had to start the world over again. And indeed, that was what virtually happened. But sadly, it did not take long for the world to become so corrupt again that God had to bring judgment upon judgment on individual cities and communities and people. But from time to time, we do read in the Bible of an event or a promise with these additional words: as he, God, has promised. As he has promised. In fact, that phrase, as he has promised, appears at least 10 times in the book of Deuteronomy alone. Yes, God is keeping his promise to bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He's operating a successful mission. We must not therefore be discouraged when we read of world events or even local events that are appalling and atrocious, for everything is on course. God is in control. His promise of redemption will be fulfilled. And all the horrors in the world are part and parcel of his plan. He's included these things. The Bible is really an account of world history, partly so anyway, and includes the parts that pagan nations and wicked people play in God's mission to save the world. All events, both secular and spiritual, fit in with God's overall objective of saving people and nations. And God is glorified in every detail that happens on earth. God's promise is that all nations will be blessed and that God's covenant people will be the means through which the nations will come to learn about God. The original promise, which was made to the devil, actually, has grown and developed as God revealed more and more of his promise to his covenant people over the centuries until the Lord Jesus Christ, in his final commission to his disciples, said, "Behold, think, now look, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, that you'll play your role in the world." That promise guaranteed the promise of the Holy Spirit, but it also included and guaranteed what Jesus repeatedly said, that whoever believes in him will be saved and will have everlasting life. In a world that is fraught with broken promises and broken marriages and broken commitments, how wonderful to have the security of faithful covenant love. There's no love like covenant love. It's an invention of God, covenant love. God has entered into a covenant with the human race. Every single person is in covenant with God. We've got no choice about that. We're in covenant in God. God did not create us and then added on a covenant. He created us in covenant with him. Every person is therefore a covenant keeper or a covenant breaker. God is and cannot be, because of who he is, anything other than a covenant keeper. God keeps his covenant. He's promised salvation, eternal and unlosable salvation, to everyone who believes in his Son. Just think of what Jesus said to Martha when she was filled with grief at her brother's death. He said to her, "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." That's in John chapter 11, verse 25. "Though he die, yet shall he live." That's marvellous. That's wonderful. That's very encouraging. How could Jesus say that? Well, talk of keeping covenant promises. Jesus, at that very moment, he said that, was on his very way to keep the greatest and most important covenant promise of all history. He was keeping the promise he made to his Father in heaven long before creation, that he would pay the price of the sins of the world. Although there was extreme suffering, Jesus willingly kept that promise. And that promise is known as the covenant of grace, where the Father promised to save a number. And as we said, quoting scripture, "A number no man can number for multitude," if the Son would pay the price of the sins of the world. And the Son replied, "I delight to do your will, O my God." And he has done. It's completed. That's the good news. Jesus kept the promise that God made. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.